Today, I'm going to talk about Joseph's brothers came to Egypt. Background. Pharaoh made Joseph the prime minister of Egypt after Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And so Pharaoh made Joseph to be prime minister to govern and make sure that Egypt would be saved from the 7 years of famine. And true enough, there was famine in Egypt and Canaan after the 7 years of plenty. And Joseph's brother came to Egypt to buy food. So in this picture, you can see these are Joseph's brother, and they were paying obeisance to Joseph, who was then the prime minister, and not recognizing that it was Joseph, their brother. And let me move on. This is a map to show you how Joseph's brothers go to Egypt to buy grain. So they started from Hebron. You see Hebron here. All the way they moved down to the west, to Egypt. And you notice that there are many lines here because there were many journeys made by the brothers to and fro Egypt. So let's look at the many journeys that they made. First, Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to get grain. Genesis chapter 42, 124. This is the very first journey when famine struck Canaan and they were short of food. So Jacob told the sons to go to Egypt to buy food. That was the first journey. Then Joseph sent them back without Simeon. Yeah. Because Joseph wanted to see Benjamin. So he accused them of spying in Egypt. And the way to prove their innocence is to bring their youngest brother to Egypt. And then Joseph held Simeon as a hostage. And so they went back. And then the third journey was when Joseph's brothers returned with Benjamin to get more grain. Right? So they went back to Egypt with Benjamin. And of course, during that trip, they finally reconciled, and Joseph sort of told them that he was their long lost brother Joseph. And the brothers all reconciled, made up. And then Joseph's brothers returned to get their father and the rest of the family. So, and the final journey was Jacob and his family came to Egypt through Beersheba. So many journeys. And of course, these journeys are never easy because it is on foot, over land, and through very dry environment. It's a semi-desert kind of environment. You notice that this part is actually the Sinai Peninsula. And if you have been to Sinai Peninsula, it is like an arid place. You know, it's semi-desert. There is not much of a civilization. Everything is desert-like, with desert plants, and a lot of the earth is very dry. So you don't see big cities, you don't see civilization. Okay? So let me move on. And so what happened then? Let me read scripture to tell us the narratives. I'll start from chapter 42, Genesis, verse 6. This is when they have Jacob told the children, the sons, to go to Egypt to buy food. And then they reached Egypt. And Joseph was a governor over the land. And it was told that so to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. So this sounds very familiar. You remember the dream that Joseph had when he was a little boy. He told his brothers, you know, your sheaves of grain will bow down to my sheaves, and the stars, the many stars in the heaven, will bow down to me. And the brothers were very angry because at that time it meant that they would bow down to him. And they were very angry for Joseph, thinking that They think Joseph is thinking himself to be higher up than him, than them. And so they were very angry. And that came true. When they bowed down to Joseph, Joseph being the prime minister of Egypt, and they came to buy food from Canaan, which was wrecked by famine. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers. They did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." So, of course, he recalled the dream that they would bow down to him. And then he turned and was angry towards his brothers and accused them of spying in Egypt. "You have come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered, "your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." And they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lives in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father," that's Benjamin, "and one is no more." So they thought Joseph is dead, no more. Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you, you are spies. So there you go." Joseph accusing his brothers of being spies, spying Egypt. And then we move on. "Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither." So Joseph told them, "You will prove yourself to be innocent and not spies if you bring your youngest brother here." To prove that their story, that they have a younger brother still at home in Canaan, "You bring your younger brother here to Egypt. Yeah. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies." So kept accusing them of being spies unless they bring Benjamin. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. So the brothers were all thrown into jail for 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, "The third day, this do and live, for I fear God." So now Joseph is going to give them a proposition. If they accept the proposition and deliver, they will live. "If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die." And they did so. So Joseph said, "You prove what you say is true, that you have a younger brother. Bring your youngest brother to me, and then I will let go of a hostage." Yeah, because he's going to hold on to one of the brothers when the other brothers go back to bring Benjamin to him. "If it's true, your youngest brother appear, you will all live. You will have proved that you are not spies." Okay. "And they said one to another, 'We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us.'" So now the brothers thought, what is all this that they are accused of being spies when they are there trying to buy food to survive the famine in Canaan and to bring food to their father back in Canaan? And they are now overcome with so much trouble. And one of them is going to be taken as hostage, and the rest of them must go and bring Benjamin all the way back to Egypt. So much trouble. And they remember, is this retribution for throwing Joseph into the pit many years ago? Yeah. And they said, "And Reuben answered them, saying, 'Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. So Reuben said, yes, I told you. Yeah. But it happened when Joseph was thrown into the pit. I told you not to do anything harsh to the child, to Joseph, but you were not here. Now his blood is on us. Yeah? We are all guilty for what we have done to him. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Of course, when the brothers were talking about what terrible things they did to Joseph, and now they are facing retribution, they did not know that Joseph knew what they were saying, because they thought Joseph was Egyptian prime minister, but Joseph knew. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. So Joseph was, of course, very overcome with sadness, because firstly, he remembered the terrible event that the brothers threw him and almost left him to die in the pit. A cruel act. And he was overcome with emotion. And now the brothers are before him. And he is much, much above them. And he wept. And he then went to talk to them and said, I will take Simeon. And the rest of you go back and bring Benjamin. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. So he did. So he said, okay, all of you can go back. You can take all your food to bring back to Canaan for the aged father. And also he left their purchase money for the food in their sack. In other words, they are supposed to buy food, right? So they are supposed to buy food, the money, but the money was returned back to them without their knowing, into the sack with the food. And they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. So this was the facts in scripture. Then as they, let me just read the next two verses. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in his sack's mouth. So after they had moved off, they were in an inn. One of them, one of the brothers, opened up the sack and saw money in there. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? So everything seems to vary. Fearful and fearful to them. Even when their money is returned into their sack, they are fearful that they may be accused of taking the money wrongly, because they're supposed to have bought food. And how is it their money, which is used for buying food, is now found in their sack? They fear that they may be framed by the Egyptian that, you took the food and your own money back. Yeah. So this also, they were fearful. So this is what is meant by retribution. Eh? You have done an evil, and now the punishment is coming up upon you. Okay, let us watch the video. 133, okay. And this video is about Jacob telling his children to go to Egypt to buy food. And the children, or the sons, came to Egypt, and then the exchange between Joseph, the prime minister, and his brothers. The brothers didn't recognize Joseph. Naturally, Joseph knew his brothers, and then Joseph accused them of being spies, and so on and so forth. So again, I remind you that this is a video, a movie made by movie makers. The speeches of the characters are all made up. They are not biblical. They are not accurate, but by and large, the story is close to the Bible narratives. So I would like to see especially the relationship between Joseph, the prime minister, and his brothers, who were trying to prove their innocence before Joseph, and how Joseph treated the brothers and wanted the brother bring Benjamin to him. Okay, let us watch.
When Joseph's father Jacob heard that there was grain to be had in Egypt, he sent his 10 oldest sons down there to buy it, for the famine had also severely struck the land of Canaan, and Jacob was desperate.
Benjamin.
He kept Benjamin, his youngest son, by his side because he was afraid that harm might come to him on the journey. When they arrived in Egypt to buy grain, the 10 sons of Jacob were taken before the all-powerful Joseph. And they knelt down before him. This fulfilled the dream Joseph had had years earlier. They, of course, did not recognize Joseph as the brother they had sold into slavery. Joseph, however, recognized them immediately, but he did not let them know it. He spoke harshly to them and treated them like strangers. He turned his back to them as they pleaded with him to sell them grain. He even accused them of being spies. They denied it vehemently and tried to explain to him who they were, that their aged father Jacob was back in Canaan with their youngest brother, and they desperately needed to buy food. Joseph pretended he did not believe them and threw them into prison. 3 days later, when he felt that they had suffered enough, he went to them and offered them a bargain. "I will put you to a test," he said. "I will sell you the grain, but you must leave one of you here as hostage. Return home and come back with your younger brother, and I shall know you are telling me the truth, and you shall not die." The brothers agreed to do this and argued their predicament among themselves. They did not know that Joseph understood their language, since he had always spoken to them through an interpreter. Reuben said that what they were going through was punishment for what they had done to their brother Joseph so many years ago. "Did I not tell you not to wrong the boy? But you would not listen. Now comes the reckoning for his blood." This was too much for Joseph, and he turned away from his brothers and wept. Then he returned to them and picked out Simeon as a hostage. He allowed them to be given grain, and he sent them on their way. When they got back to Canaan, they told their father what had happened to them in Egypt. He was in despair. In Genesis 42:36, Jacob cries out,
"I am the one you have bereaved of children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And now you would take Benjamin. My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he alone is left."
So there you see the video showing how Joseph accused the brothers of spies. And of course, Joseph remembered the terrible act that the brothers did to him, throwing him into the pit and later on selling him as a slave to Egypt. And so now Joseph has the upper hand, being prime minister of Egypt, and the brothers are coming to buy food from Egypt. And now he wanted the brothers to go back to bring Benjamin back to him. So what can we say about what has happened? Because if you look, a very important part of scripture as well as what you saw on radio, that the brothers came together and there was this conversation where they said, is this punishment for our sin, what we did to Joseph years ago? And true, that the Bible also talks about punishment for our sin. And so if you look at troubles due to sin, you have Joseph's brothers. Now they have all these troubles. And one of them actually alluded to it, that it is because of their ruthless and cruel treatment of Joseph that they are now facing all these troubles. And further on, after their terrible deed of selling Joseph as a slave, they took Joseph's coat and dipped it into animal's blood and showed it to their father and lied to their father that brother Joseph has been devoured by a wild animal and causing Jacob a lot of grief and distress. And they thought they could get away with the lie, because who's going to tell anyone that they have almost killed Joseph and sold him to slavery? All the brothers were there and they were all part of the sin, all guilty. So if none of the brothers, guilty brothers, speak up, who is to know that they have done the wicked deed? So very sophisticated cover up. And yet, God's will is that it will all now come up. Okay? So that is trouble due to sin. One day, the trouble due to sin will come up on earth. Then there you have also troubles due to testing from God. Naturally, I mean, you look at Joseph, his life is also filled with trouble. Yeah, he was thrown into pits, sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites, who then got on. Then he was sold to Potiphar, and then this trouble with Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, and so on and so forth. You know, a lot of hardship and trouble that Joseph faced. And the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all had a lot of hard life, hardship in their life, trouble. Is it due to sin? No, it is not. There's no evidence that it was due to sin. But if you look at how they clung on to God despite the trouble they were facing, it is exercise of their faith in the face of the trouble which God put in their lives. So if you face troubles as a form of testing for God, you know that God is with you. And it is never as bad as trouble due to sin. Because at the end of the testing from God, God will deliver you and you will have increase in your faith. So what is the spiritual lesson here? Are you facing troubles? Are your troubles due to sin or testing from God? So of course, we have to distinguish. If due to sin, you have to repent, seek forgiveness from God, turn away from that sin. Many of us, we pray and say, God, we seek your forgiveness, we repent, and then shortly after that, you go back to your sin, your old ways. So we didn't really turn away from that sin. Yeah, we repeat the sin, which is common among us. Yeah, because we are weak, yeah. But that must never be an excuse to continue with our sin. The effects of sin may be long-lasting. It affects yourself in the future. Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So that is what we see in Numbers 32 and 23. Your sin will find you out. That means punishment will come because of your sin. Not because God wants to exact punishment against you for your wrongdoing, but more so because God loves you. God wants you to repent. wants you to turn away from your sin, and he sends punishment, many forms. Yeah, many forms. It can be circumstances in your life, it can be sickness, it can be work-related punishment, and so on and so forth. Yeah, and you will then remember, yes, you know, I have sinned against God and now I'm facing this trouble. So it is to steer you away to the rightful path, that you will face punishment for your sin. And sin also affects others. For example, if a believer commits adultery and there's divorce, it will adversely affect your children and your growth psychologically. Yeah. You read many articles about children coming from broken homes. They frequently go into the wrong path. They get mixed up with bad heads, and they themselves become bad heads. So, and lies may also bring grief to family. For example, the brothers lied to Jacob that Joseph had been devoured by a wild animal, and it brought a lot of grief to the father, Jacob. So it would be the same if believers lie and got found out. It brings a lot of shame. It brings a lot of grief to the family, to children, to loved ones. And so your sin, before you do anything sinful, remember, it will come back to you in the form of adverse consequences in your life, trouble, punishments. It may also affect your children. It may affect your family members. Yeah, and so on and so forth. So if due testing is from God, it is not due to your sin, wait upon the Lord in prayer and reading of the word. God will deliver you just as he delivered Joseph. Right? For example, a very prominent example that you all know of is Job. Yeah, it was never recorded in the Bible that all his trouble was because he had sinned against God. No. We all know the reason for the trouble, because there was this contest between God and Satan. And God told Satan, look, Job is such a faithful servant of mine. And Satan said, no, you know, it's because you put a hedge around Joseph from all trouble. That's why he's so faithful to you. If you let me test him and bring trouble to his life, he will not be so faithful. And God allowed the test of Satan. And Job was faithful to the very end. He did not turn away from God. He did not lose faith in God. He did not say, come now. How can God allow all these terrible things to happen in my life? I might as well forget about faith in God. He did not do that. Yeah? Even his wife told him, forget about God. But Job held on, being faithful to God. And he was delivered. Yeah? He recovered from his illness. He recovered from all his property and all his riches came back to him. And he had all his children. He had more children. So that was testing from God, which Job was restored. And let me move on. The brothers returned to Canaan and told Jacob that they had to bring Benjamin to Egypt. Jacob was aggrieved for fearing of losing Benjamin. You read this in chapter 42, verse 38. And you also saw in video how Jacob was so aggrieved that now Benjamin had to go to Egypt. In his mind, he lost Joseph earlier on. And now there is risk that he may lose Benjamin. So he was very, very distressed, very aggrieved and sad. And the famine was severe, and the brothers had to go back to Egypt for more food. So let me read to you chapter 43, 2 to 14. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, Their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. So Judah reminded Jacob, they have to bring Benjamin, because Joseph wants Benjamin. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For this man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. So there you go. The brothers are reluctant to go to see Joseph, because then Joseph will accuse them of being spies. They could not verify that their youngest brother without bringing him. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether he had yet a brother? And he said, The man asked us straightly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? So there was this argument between Jacob and the sons. Why did you say that you have a younger brother? And then, because they said they have a younger brother, now they are forced to bring the youngest brother. So, and Judah said unto Israel, his father, and said unto his Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. So Judah was very insistent that they should have Benjamin with them, so that, you know, they could prove themselves to be honest people and not spies, and that they can buy more food back for the family in Canaan. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in our vessels and carry down the man a present, a little bough and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. So now the father is more or less convinced that they have to go with Benjamin. And the father said, Okay, bring some gifts for the prime minister Joseph. Okay. Of course, the father Jacob didn't know Joseph was the prime minister. He just knew that it was prime minister of Egypt. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. So Jacob said, you know, to clarify this money that was found in the sack, which was meant to buy the food. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereft of my children, I am bereft. So, you see, at this final stage, Jacob is still very fearful that he will lose his sons. If I be bereft of my children, I am bereft. Meaning that if he loses his children, he loses them. Okay, so he's accept whatever comes. The brothers had to bring gifts to Joseph to find favor with Joseph. The brothers had to bring gifts to Joseph to find favor with Joseph. Okay. Jacob was very sad that Benjamin had to go to Egypt. So it is the same, yeah? When we want to find favor with someone, we have to behave kindly towards that somebody. So it is here, the brothers who were accused of being spies by Joseph, they cannot go back to Joseph and do nothing. Yeah, they have to do something to find favor with Joseph. And what more better than to bring gifts to Joseph? So it is the same with us today, that if we want to be in good relationship with somebody, one way is to present some presents, some gifts. And you look, Jacob was very sad that Benjamin had to go to Egypt, because At the back of his mind, he may lose Benjamin, his youngest son. So when Benjamin was brought to Joseph in Egypt, Joseph was glad and invited them to a feast at his house. Let me see. Let us read from chapter 43, 16 to 34, or I shall read for you. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." So this is when they have arrived in Egypt, you know, with Benjamin, the second trip to Egypt by the brothers. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, "Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, we are brought in, that we may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses." So again, they were frightened to go to Joseph's house because they are afraid that they may be captured there now. Is it because they still have the money with them? Because those money was meant to buy the food, and still they kept the money. Is Joseph going to catch them? And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. So they were very afraid, and they asked the steward of Joseph and said, "Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. And we have brought it again in our hand." So the brother said to Joseph's steward, "Oh, we want to return the money back to you, fearful that it's because of the money that they may be thrown in jail again. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks." Again, you know, they were so fearful about the money business. And he said, "Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." And he brought Simeon out unto them. So the guard told the brothers, "Don't worry about it, you know." Of course, the guard knew. They themselves put the money back into the sacks on Joseph's orders. And the man brought the men into the Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. So washed their feet, gave their donkeys food. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him in the earth. And he asked them about their welfare and said, "Is your father well, old man of whom he spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. He lifted up his eyes, saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom he spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. Of course, when Joseph saw his brother Benjamin, he has not seen Benjamin for many years. And so he wept secretly. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself, and said, "Set on bread." And he set on for him by himself and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves. Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And he set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and his youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. So they were surprised that they were all seated according to their ages, oldest to the youngest. How would the Egyptian know how to place them in the minds of the brothers? And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. So I read you scripture so that at least you can understand the facts, the what happened. And now I would like you to watch a video. Again, I'd like to caution you on the inaccurate parts of the video. The speeches are inaccurate, and some of the events may also be misplaced. So be discerning as you watch the video. Now the parts is on the brothers all being invited to Joseph's house for a feast. Okay. And so you watch how the brothers' reaction to the Joseph and how Joseph, as prime minister of Egypt, relate to his brothers. Of course, at this point in time, the brothers still did not know that it was Joseph.
No choice. He would have to send them back to Egypt for more grain, and he would have to send Benjamin with them. When the brothers arrived in Egypt and once again stood before the mighty Joseph, their reception was entirely different. Joseph was delighted to see Benjamin with them, and he ordered his steward to take them to his house and slaughter an animal, and he would dine with them at noon. The steward took the men to Joseph's great house, and he brought Simeon out of prison to be reunited with them. Joseph joined them at noon and asked them about their father and paid particular attention to his younger brother Benjamin. They still did not recognize Joseph as their long-lost brother. According to the Bible, they drank and were merry with him, a far cry from the harsh and hostile treatment they had experienced before.
So you saw how they went back to Egypt with Benjamin, and Joseph was delighted to see Benjamin. And his relationship changed. And he and Joseph invited the brothers and Benjamin to his house for a big feast. But of course, at that point in time, they still did not recognize Joseph, who was the prime minister. So what are the spiritual lessons that we learn from this? Fear continued to dominate the brothers when they met Joseph, for when we have sinned, there would also be fear and anxieties when our sin finds us out. So for example, if we lie and we are found out that we have lied, when we cheat on our spouse and are found out, when our boss finds out that we have not done our task, fear sets in. Yeah, and so that is very much which dominated the brothers. Even when they went back to Egypt with Benjamin, they were still fearful because they didn't know Joseph was looking out for Benjamin. Benjamin was his very blood brother of the same mother. And they were still fearful that, oh, is it because the Egyptians are not happy with the money they have in their sack? Now they have brought the money back and want to return the money, restore the money to the Egyptian, because rightfully it should belong to Egyptians. After they pay for the food, it should go to the Egyptians, and now they found the money in their sack. So all this is a lot of fear and anxiety. So it's the same with us when we have done something wrong. We have done something dishonest. We have lied. People know that we have lied. How do we answer them? How will these other people take action against us for our lies? Will we be charged in court, convicted, sentenced for offenses? Can very well be, because sometimes you make declarations, and declarations are under statutory declarations, and these are serious offenses, and you can be charged and convicted in court for making a false declaration. Or when you say something which is a lie, you can be charged for cheating offenses So, and cheating offenses can end up in jail. So these are fears and anxieties to beset us. If you read Proverbs 13:21, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid. So there's a sort of a corollary here. Evil pursueth sinners. Yeah. Trouble will come on the sinners. Punishment will come on the sinners. So for those who are thinking of doing something not right, not according to the law, or even telling a lie to get away, the word of God says, evil pursueth sinners. You may not get away with it. Maybe for in a short period of time, but the sin will find us out. The corollary is the righteous. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. If you are righteous, you will be repaid with goodness, with blessing. So remember this verse. Sin also affects us adversely. Our family members, children, and loved ones will be adversely affected when we face punishment for our wrongdoing. Sometimes we commit a big mistake in the company and we are sacked from our job. A bigger mistake may end us in jail or fined for an offense. So all these doesn't just affect yourself, ourselves. Yeah, we end up in jail, sacked from our job, and what else that come along the way. Our family members will also be affected. They will feel very fearful. What is their future going to be when the breadwinner loses his job? When the breadwinner not only loses his job, but ends up in jail, or when he has a record in his career that he has done a wrongful deed. Can he get another job with another company? All these are questions that will come up, and it affects family members and children. So very importantly, yeah, steer away from sin, steer away from things that you know are wrong. The Word of God is full of right and wrong, and we have to do what is things which are along on the straight and proper path. So the corollary is if they do good, like Joseph and Benjamin, there's unity and there's restoration between Joseph and Benjamin. So if we conduct our lives righteously before God and men, there will be good. There will be goodness in our lives and we will be blessed. So the short of it in this particular lesson is your sin will find you out. Just as the 10 brothers, they want to get rid of Joseph and they concocted a plan to cover up their sin, to tell their father that Joseph was eaten up by a wild animal. Perfect crime. Who's to know? Sell their brother off as a slave. No one's to tell, but there is a God who knows. And God will order events such that things will come to light and the brothers will have to be sorry for what they did. And not only be sorry, but also evil pursueth the sinner. All the trouble the brothers went through, up and down Egypt many, many times, all the fears, all the anxieties, all the stress that was in their life was due to their sin of wanting to kill Joseph and ultimately selling him to the slave traders. So it is with our life. Yeah, we think we can get away with it. Not so easy. We have a God who sees all things. And we have a God who is a just God. And evil pursueth the sinner. So God will judge with justice for the wrong or sin that we have done. So I will end here and let us end in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson. That Joseph's brother are all under punishment for their wicked deed that they did to Joseph. And it occurred to them so clearly that it was their wicked deed, because they also say of it among themselves and recorded in scripture for us, that was it their terrible deed that they did to their brother, that they are in anguish, that they face all the trouble that they are facing. So from this narrative in scripture, it is a lesson to all of us that we must do good and not evil, and not sin, for the evil will come after us if we sin. We pray for many of us who are in difficult situation, those who are without job, those who are sick, those who have troubles in their life, that we will look to God in prayer, in reading of the Bible, and continue to have faith in God, and God will restore us. Just as Joseph, when he was in so much trouble, earlier part of his life, he continued to be faithful to God, to walk close to God, and to abide by God's word, and not steer into sin. And God was true and faithful and delivered from Joseph. So we pray for many of us who are also facing trouble because of the pandemic and whatever situation that we face, that we will continue to be faithful, continue to steer away from sin, to walk the straight and narrow, to do that which is in accordance with thy word, and to be faithful. And as loving Heavenly Father, thou will surely deliver us from our troubles. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.